time to light the match for the Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion. And we are simply here trying to do our jobs. It is not helpful to the cause. It is not helpful to the country. It does not help the House Republicans advance our agenda, which is in the best interest of the American people here, a secure border, sound governance, and it's not helpful to the unity that we have in the body. Look, we have a very important mission here. Our mission is very clear. The reason most of us, I can speak for the House Republicans, the reason every House Republican ran for Congress is that because they wanted to come here and help to save this beleaguered republic of ours. We want to save the country. We believe that we're in an existential moment. We really do. This is a civilizational moment. It's a moment where we're going to decide in this election cycle which vision we have for the country. See, we believe, and y'all have heard me say before, we believe in the founding principles, the foundations of America, things like individual freedom and limited government and the rule of law and peace through strength and fiscal responsibility and free markets and human dignity, the foundational, the anchor points that make us the exceptional nation that we are. And right now we're in a political struggle, a battle between a completely different vision for the country. We have colleagues in the Congress who envision for us not those things. They have disdain for those things I just listed. They instead envision that America should be remade in the form of some sort of, you know, European-style socialist utopia. That is a dangerous fool's errand. That is a road to Marxism, communism, you know, socialism. That's a step towards those eventualities, and that is not who we are as a country. And so for us to accomplish our mission, which is to save the republic, we need to add more Republicans to the House and grow the House majority so we have more votes. We need to win back the Republican majority in the Senate, and we need to restore Donald J. Trump to the White House as our nominee. I believe all those things will happen. But we have to have a united front, and we have to have our members work together. And we'll be
all right. So that's Speaker Johnson. We have to have a united front. We have to have our members working together. You ever notice that the united front stuff only ever seems to be a prominent part of any political party's rhetoric when they've been caught not doing the things that they promised their constituents that they were going to do, and then they get called out on it? You ever notice that? It's kind of weird how that consistently throughout my entire career happens that way. Listen, I actually, on the surface, okay, agreed with pretty much everything that he said there. There was a lot of truth there. Here's the problem. Saying it and doing it are two very different things. McCarthy said it a lot too. But his record before he took over as speaker was that of saying it and never doing it. And then some people expected him to be suddenly very different when he became speaker. And then they found out that he wasn't different. He was still just saying it and he wasn't doing it. And they said, all right, well, now's the time to go ahead and get rid of the guy while we have time. And they did. And they had the right guy, in my opinion, who could have taken over in Jim Jordan. And then the moderate wing of the Republican Party voted against Jim Jordan. They didn't want Jim Jordan to come in. Why? Because Jim Jordan is too conservative. I don't care how you splice it. At the end of the day, when you go to the MEP station and you drop your drawers and they ask you to bend over for the check, at the end of the day, that is exactly what happened. Jim Jordan was too conservative for the Republicans in Congress, and so they didn't vote for him. So then you had to move on to the next guy. The next guy is Johnson, who, for the record, was a pretty good representative. But as we had Representative Banks on last week, he pointed out, he goes, Johnson's rhetoric in committee on some of these issues, particularly FISA, were completely different back then than they are now. And I can't figure out for the life of me why he changed his mind. Funny how that happens. Now, I'll leave you to infer what motivating circumstance may very well have changed Speaker Johnson's mind on things like FISA. But Speaker Johnson started doing a bunch of stuff that McCarthy did that he promised he wouldn't do. And then he got upset that MTG came out there and said, yeah, don't like it. So I'm just going to file this and I'm just letting you know. I'm not going to do anything with it now, but it's filed. So anytime I need to call that vote, I'm going to call that vote. And he did it again. And now everybody is surprised. Is the timing bad? Yeah, this time the timing is bad. But this time the timing is only bad because Republicans have been screwing up for the past like 4 months. Republicans wouldn't have the slim majority that they have right now if they didn't throw some people out of Congress before being convicted of anything and didn't do a bunch of other stuff. And then, of course, you got some retirements and things like that that are designed to maximize the damage here. Here's how you know that Speaker Johnson screwed up. I just told Mike Johnson in conference that I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate that was introduced by Representative MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene. He should pre-announce his resignation as Boehner did so we can pick a new speaker without ever being without a GOP speaker. That is Representative Thomas Massey. If Johnson's lost Massey, Johnson's lost a lot of people. I'm not even saying that Johnson's a bad guy, folks. Frankly, he wasn't a bad representative. And there are people who have been far worse at speaker. But as I've said before, there has to come a time you realize some very basic fundamentals about this country and the direction that we're heading. And this is at all levels. When do you draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough? We're tired of being told one thing and only to have you do another. And then when we resist, you just come out and go, we have to be unified or else the Democrats will win. At what point in time do you go, we're not falling for that anymore? How about instead of that, you just start doing the things you promised to do that we elected you to do, and then we don't have to get to this point. How about we just start from there? You know, basics. Anything that you conduct in your normal daily life with any relationship that you have with anybody from a professional or personal level, if you can't rely on somebody to do what they tell you that they're going to do, then what's the point of having them around? So somebody asked, whoa, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? FISA, foreign war funding, spending more than Nancy Pelosi, all of the above. And Thomas Massey responded. He says, all of the above. This camel has a pallet of bricks. Thomas Massey doesn't like this stuff. Thomas Massey wants McCarthy back. Thomas Massey liked the way that McCarthy handled finance. I didn't. Thomas Massey did. I have great respect for Thomas Massey. I don't agree with him on everything. But Thomas Massey doesn't like the whole, let's go through speakers and get rid of them and that sort of thing. But from Thomas Massey's perspective, Speaker Johnson's gone too far. And Thomas Massey, who does not support this sort of thing, is like, no, we're done. Now, I would like you to keep something in mind. Everything that you know about what's happening here is a fraction of what's actually happening behind closed doors. There is a lot more reasons than you're aware of as to why even Thomas Massey is like, nope, I'm with MTG on this. And we may never know what those reasons are, but it was enough to get him on board. And he is somebody who really hates that game. So, we'll have to see what happens. Now, of course, you heard Speaker Johnson say that he's not going to resign. Now, there's two lines of thinking on this. Line number one is he shouldn't resign because you can turn this over to the Democrats. Well, if he resigns, it allows the Republicans to pick his replacement. And then there is no possibility of the Democrats taking over. The other argument is taking a look at this and going, well, what Speaker Johnson is doing now by not resigning is actually what opens up the Republicans to losing the House. Well, I should say the House speakership to the Democrats. Which theoretically, technically shouldn't happen without a couple of traitors. So I don't know what's going to happen. I do believe that the timing of this is quite silly. But then again, that's the argument that they always use. The timing is not right. Well, folks, when you have a major vote 6 months because you won't do a budget every 6 months, every 9 months, every 12 months, there never is a good time. And it's almost like the system has been designed for there to never be a good time to fix the system, so that way you never actually fix the system while incrementally the system continues to get worse and worse and worse. And if you try to fix it, you're chastised as helping the other side because you're trying to cause angst. It's almost like it's designed that way. Just a little bit. So at what point do you just draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough? We're either going to win here or we're going to lose here, but we have to fix this. And we've got to hold people accountable. McCarthy was held accountable. And it was disgusting how many people supported him, including Massey, by the way. Well, Speaker Johnson has not been held accountable yet. And now he is. So will they actually get their act together? Will they put somebody in at Speaker who will do what they promised they would do? That they will not only keep their promises to all of you, but they will keep their promises to their caucus and their fellow Republicans to do the job the way that they promised to do the job. Or do we get another McCarthy, another Boehner, another Johnson? And Johnson, I think, by the way, is better than all of those guys, just for the record. And maybe if this were another time, a Speaker Johnson would be perfectly acceptable. But it isn't another time. It's now. And Republicans in the House, just like you, perpetually, between every single election cycle, are sick and tired of the same thing over and over and over again. And you're tired of establishment candidates making you promises, pushing out conservative activists. You're tired of them getting to D.C. or getting to the state capitol or wherever they're going to go and breaking those promises consistently over and over and over again. You're sick and tired of it. Well, apparently Republicans in the House are sick and tired of it too. Honestly, and I know that some of you disagree with this, but I think we're kind of blessed right now to be in a position, thank you to Matt Gaetz, that when you have a bad speaker, you can get rid of them fairly easily and actually put somebody in there who will have the confidence of the caucus. Question is, who would that be? And does the name Jim Jordan come back around, depending on what happens here? Because I've made my position on this pretty clear for a long time. At some point, the line in the sand has to be drawn. Would I have drawn it right now? Probably not. But the line has to be drawn. And establishment politics has to learn that establishment politics doesn't work anymore. And it's not going to be tolerated by the base of the party. Got more coming up. You're tuned into The Burning Truth.
From the Shield Exterior Studios, with the industry's only accident-free lifetime warranty, Shield Exteriors Roofing, protecting what matters most. This is The Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson on MNC.
Podcasts by Federated Media.